The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We will start with case 11-0181, Rumke Sanitary Landfill Incorporated et al. Versus Coleraine Township et al. For the appellant, Ms. Cunningham.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the Court, I am Catherine Cunningham, attorney for Coleraine Township. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. The issue before the Court today in this case is whether a privately owned sanitary landfill in Coleraine Township, Ohio, that has been subject to local zoning for more than 50 years, can suddenly be declared a public utility that is exempt from township zoning under Ohio Revised Code Section 519.211. Only after Coleraine Township denies a request to rezone approximately 350 additional acres for landfill in Coleraine Township. The Rumke Sanitary Landfill, which is at issue in this case, is a massive 509-acre landfill. It is one of the largest in the state of Ohio. It is one of the largest in the United States of America. It has come to Coleraine Township to request an almost 70% expansion to add another 350 acres to its already existing landfill. The township, after going through the zoning process, denied the request for the additional acreage for a landfill. It was only after the denial of the request that Rumke Sanitary Landfill filed a lawsuit, and in the lawsuit filed challenging the constitutionality of the zoning as one count, which remains, but also included an additional count that it had become a public utility and was now no longer subject to township zoning.
Council, the history of this landfill, as I recall from maybe some of the preliminary matters before the court, is one of the township denying rezoning for expansion and going to the courts, and then the courts granting the rezoning. Is that a correct or incorrect recollection?
Incorrect, Your Honor. It is, in fact, the issue of the constitutionality of the zoning was one of two counts, several counts, but two counts primarily in the Common Pleas Court. The Common Pleas Court bifurcated the issue and tried only the issue, tried by way of summary judgment, only the issue relating to whether or not the landfill was a public utility. Because if it was a public utility, the constitutionality of the zoning would not be an issue because zoning would not apply and the landfill could expand without any local government restriction whatsoever.
Thank you.
So it came up only, it is before the court only on that issue. If this court should decide that it is not a public utility, we will be back in the Common Pleas Court on the issue of the constitutionality of the zoning, presumably.
Thank you.
Coleraine Township's position is that the landfill is subject to local zoning for two alternative reasons. The first reason is that local zoning is an integral part of the comprehensive state scheme that regulates sanitary landfills throughout Ohio.
Can you talk to me about the legislator's response in this? Because didn't the legislature attempt to include include Rumke or companies like Rumke as a public utility, and then that language was stricken and it has not been reinserted in the law? Is that right?
Your Honor, I believe you're referring to there was a statute that the statute 519-211 was amended. The amendment of that statute was part of a budget bill that was before this court previously on the issue of whether or not it was an unconstitutional violation of the single subject rule because it was included in the budget bill. The court found that the township actually had no standing to challenge that and struck it as a single subject violation. There has not been a subsequent amendment of that statute by the General Assembly at this point in time.
So the legislature, knowing that that was struck out, has not moved to include landfills as public utilities. And are you then asking this court to then override what the legislature has not acted and rule in their favor?
Your Honor, it's our position that is twofold. First, that the legislature actually didn't need that amendment. That amendment was actually a memorialization of the laws that already existed. The legislature has excluded landfills from local zoning in only two instances throughout the Ohio Revised Code. The first instance is a hazardous waste land facility, which is specifically excluded from any local zoning. And the second instance is it has empowered solid waste management districts to create rules that would exempt a sanitary landfill from local zoning if there is an application for a license pending. And when the application is pending, local zoning eliminates the use of the landfill. It's our position, by so including those in the revised code, in the section on sanitary landfill regulation and in the section on solid waste management districts, it was an acknowledgement by the General Assembly that a landfill is not a public utility. By including it as part of the statute in 519-211 and its amendment in the budget bill, it was simply a memorialization of what the law already was to clarify when we have these landfills challenging whether or not they're public utilities, that they are not intended to be public utilities under the statute.
Thank you.
So what is your strongest argument as to why we should reverse the determination of the First District Court of Appeals that it does qualify?
Well,
what is it that what is it that's faulty about the analysis in the appellate court opinion? What can we look to, or what can you point us to as to the abuse or the mistake or what should we do in connection with that opinion?
Your Honor, that's twofold. The First District Court of Appeals did not consider the state scheme at all, disregarded it totally.
They didn't consider what?
The state scheme of regulation of solid waste management. They only looked to the common law public utility. So they erred, one, in not doing that. And two, their other error was when they analyzed the common law public utility elements, which is necessary because 519-211 does not define what a public utility is. It forces it on this court to do an intensive factual analysis based on the industry. The court did not look to whether or not the types of regulations that applied to that industry were public utility type regulations. They simply found there was no other cost-effective means to provide solid waste, which is in direct contravention to what was found by the Solid Waste Management District, who is the district with the expertise to decide the issue, who examined the issue and found there were other cost alternative measures to provide solid waste management, that in fact there were other alternatives within the district.
Was this a least costly alternative?
The Solid Waste Management District did not do a comprehensive analysis. What they did determine is that 20% of the waste generated in the county goes to other landfills, 11 other landfills. So presumably that 20% it's cost effective for whoever generates that to take it other places. But they don't look at, they're not rate regulators. They don't look at rates. They don't look at the relationship of the customer to the landfill, which is, I think, a fatal error in their examination of the case.
Counsel, what you're saying is the First District Court of Appeals didn't match up the public utility regulations with the regulations that are now in place governing Rumkey's landfill. And you saying that had they done so, they would have seen that there's a discrepancy and Rumkey would not qualify as a public utility. But what now are the who regulates this landfill now besides the Hamilton County Solid Waste District? Is there any other regulation beyond the Ohio EPA?
No, Your Honor, and the Solid Waste Management District does not actually regulate the landfill. What they do, it's their responsibility to make sure that there is sufficient capacity for solid waste generated in the county to be disposed of somewhere. What they chose not to designate the Rumkey Sanitary Landfill as the only place it could trash solid waste could
but
go.
But the Rumkey Landfill existed prior to the Solid Waste Management Authority, is that correct?
Yes, and it existed prior to zoning. It was a non-conforming
use
when zoning came into effect.
I mean, I'm not stating that they are under the assumption that the Solid Waste Management District gave them permission to exist. My question is, do they have any oversight at all? Do they come onto the property? Is there anything that they are required to do with regards to oversight?
No. The only overseer is the Ohio EPA, and their local authority is the health department, but they operate as an agency of the EPA under the state scheme.
And what are they looking for?
I mean, environmental factors only.
So to see if somebody's dumping mercury or some formaldehyde or something impermissible.
Right. Typically odors, air events, water pollution, that kind of thing.
Ms. Cunningham, doesn't the federal EPA also have something to say about how this operation proceeds?
I believe that they do, but generally it's delegated through the Ohio EPA. Again, the Ohio EPA acts as an arm for the federal EPA. The local health department acts as an arm for the Ohio EPA.
But there are still federal regulations that must be followed as well as state regulations, correct?
I believe so, Your Honor, but I don't want to misrepresent
well,
to the court.
Effect, if we were to rule in your favor, would the effect here be that in the final analysis, there would just be no expansion. Is that the upshot of what we would be doing here if we would be ruling in your favor?
In the final analysis, the upshot would be it would continue to be subject to local zoning control. In this case, there would not be a 350-acre expansion. That doesn't mean that there wouldn't be local consideration, health, safety, and welfare, and zoning considerations in the future. That means that the single application for a 350-acre expansion of this landfill at this location was not approved and would not be approved.
To your knowledge, is there any other facility in the state that is taking the same position, or this township or local area that is taking the same position that you're taking with Rumkey? I understand that we have amicus briefs that have been filed here, but do we have any other particular facility in the state that's in the same position?
That have actually filed litigation on the issue of whether or not they're a public utility?
Or the local control, rather, the local control issue.
It has been raised throughout the state. I can't point you to a specific case that is pending. There are cases cited in the briefs where the issue has been raised. It was obviously raised in A and B. It was raised in several others that are footnoted in our brief where the issue has been raised continuously. And to my knowledge, with rare exception, the courts have found that sanitary landfills are subject to local zoning and control.
So, counsel, if we upheld the first district, does the PUCO come in and become the regulator for this landfill?
Not without a statutory amendment, to my knowledge, Your Honor. PUCO only comes into effect if you are specifically listed early on. I contacted the PUCO about issues, and if you're not within their statutory purview, they are not going to consider the relationship, your rates and conditions, or your customer relations.
So you're qualifying this as a public utility takes away the township's ability to zone it and its need to conform to that zoning, and yet there's no oversight by a state agency such as the PUCO.
That's correct. There is no relationship by any governmental authority as to the rates or the customer relationships or really even the obligation to provide service.
Council, following up on the questions of the chief, there is no regulation at all. Would it be correct that there is no regulation at all of tripping fees or dumping fees, that is set by the company, and there's no oversight of that?
There is, I don't want to misrepresent the court, there is a statewide tipping fee that is paid by all landfills at the same rate, identical rate. It's, I don't want to call it a tax because that's misleading, but it's a uniform fee. That applies to every landfill. There is no state regulation of the per ton disposal rate that any private landfill charges. Now, if it's a public landfill, they go through a rate making process. They charge uniform rates, not necessarily the same rate at every public landfill, but they would establish rates through a public process. A private landfill does not have that process, does not have that oversight, and frankly doesn't even have a reporting obligation. There's nowhere where you could go to find the myriad of rates that is charged by a private landfill.
So the question that we have to decide as to whether or not this is a public utility, it would be an unregulated public utility in the sense that we ordinarily think of utility regulation, which focuses on rates and service provided.
That's right, Your Honor.
So with respect to Rumpke, there is no requirement that they offer universal service. Would that be correct?
That's correct.
And there is no requirement with respect to the upper limit of what they charge people who bring something to their facility.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank
you.
Can I ask one? To follow up on Justice Lanzinger's question, if we uphold the first district, does that mean then that Rumpke could expand infinitum into Colerain Township? As large as they wanted to get, you would have no authority to limit their expansion within a specific area that did not impede on residential or other areas of Colerain Township?
That's correct, Your Honor. They could expand without regard to any local limitation whatsoever. Their only limitation would be EPA licensing. And the EPA has joined as an amicus in this case, saying, we don't consider those issues. Our issue is only environmental. That's what we'll consider.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Trouth.
Counsel, before you get into your arguments, I want to make sure we understand the procedural posture. If we reverse the first district on the question of whether or not your client is a public utility, you're still back there or at the trial court litigating the challenge as to the constitutionality of the determination that you can't expand, testing the constitutionality of the turn down?
That is correct, Your Honor. We'd go back to the zoning issue, but let me clarify one misnomer. By the way, my name is Joe Trouth. I'm the attorney for Rumpke Sanitary Landfill. With me is Charles Miller and Tom Tepe. If I have some time, I'd like to have Mr. Miller share part of the argument. But first of all, the one thing I must clear up right now is this is one of the most highly regulated businesses in the state of Ohio. Rumpke Sanitary Landfill is highly regulated by the EPA, not just on environmental regulations alone, but on setbacks, on siting. The siting requirements are unbelievable. You can't be above an aquifer. You can't be near a blue water stream. They go through all kind of particular
Counsel,
sites.
I think we understand that there are health and all enormous regulation, and those are also for your client's industry changing all the time. Yep. as they learn more about how groundwater moves and how various substances can pollute. But is that connected to whether or not you're a public utility, that you're regulated on health matters?
It's one of the factors, and I'll go through those. The law is very clear.
But, Council, isn't every landfill regulated by the EPA?
Yes.
They're all uniformly required not to be close to the aquifers or over an aquifer, and there's universal or at least statewide regulation in Ohio as to what can be dumped there, what's acceptable, the setback. So that's not peculiar to a public utility.
Right, but there's a lot more than that. The Solid Waste District has the ultimate regulation. They can shut you down. They can flow control. Right now, Rumpke can accept 10,000 tons per day. That's it. The Solid Waste District could say you can only accept from Hamilton County. You can only accept from two or three counties. They could say you can only accept 5,000 tons
per day.
Is
that is only particular to your client situated in Hamilton County.
That's correct.
It's only regulated, I mean, those regulations only are peculiar to Hamilton County.
That's correct, the Hamilton County Solid Waste District. And on top of that, the Solid Waste District on rates, for instance, and there's no requirement under the law on rates, the law says nothing about that, could shut Rumpke down, basically. They can eminent domain it, they can flow control away from it, they have the ultimate say-so on rates. So if rates aren't fair and reasonable.
Are there any sanitary landfills that you know of that are public utilities existing
yes.
in Ohio today?
Yes. Laidlaw is one. A second one threatened to
are
utilize.
They private?
What's that? Yes.
Are they?
Yeah, private, yes. Another one, Republic, threatened to use the public utility exemption, and then they settled with the particular jurisdiction that they were in.
And are they regulated by the Public Utilities Commission? Are those
no,
two?
No. No, they're regulated by all these organizations. I started with the EPA. I went to the Solid Waste Management District, the Board of Health, the counties. So there's plenty of regulation there to control these particular landfills.
And those landfills that you referenced are located where?
Well, Laidlaw is in Laidlaw, Ohio. You might be more familiar with me than that. Republic is up north, closer to the Cleveland area.
And they are exempt from township or local zoning regulations?
Well, the one settled and the other one is exempt. Laidlaw is exempt, and that was a common pleas decision that we've cited in our brief. But
I know you want to get into your argument, but I just want to ask you another question. If this court should rule in your favor on the issue here, it would have pretty broad application, wouldn't it, to all privately owned landfills? Would almost automatically become public?
No, absolutely not, Your Honor, and if I can get to the law. The law in Ohio couldn't be more clear. 519.211 exempts public utilities and railroads from township zoning, whether they're public or private. And we have a difference of opinion with opposition counsel that they think it should be only public. But the statute says public or private. Then you go to the AB refuse case, the seminal case, 1992 case in Ohio. And the First District Court of Appeals laid this out very clearly in their opinion, and they went through it on page 3 and 4. And there are two essential elements. One, you have to provide a public service. Everybody agrees, Ohio law agrees, that waste collection is a public service, and it's an essential public service. Two, it has to be of public concern. And under the first one, there are four factors under AB refuse, and I'll go through those. And under the second one, there are three factors. Monopolistic tendency and regulation. I've already talked about regulation. We'll talk about monopoly in a second. But on page 4 of the Court of Appeals judgment entry, they clearly laid out and said Rumpke met every one of those seven factors, and you don't have to meet them. It's not a bright line, rigid test.
Well, counsel, your two-pronged thing just occurred to me. I think my local hospital would fit.
I'm sorry, what?
I think my local hospital would fit.
Well, you know, I don't know if any local hospitals have ever claimed public utility.
I know, but the definition that you give
us. Well, I mean, I didn't.
They provide a public service, and there's broad public interest, I think.
Public concern. Well, here are the.
Are there any other entities that have been determined to be public utilities that are other than those that are regulated by the Public Utilities Commission by statute?
In our brief is cited a construction and debris landfill, a trucking company. Now, these weren't at this level. These were lower court cases that, you know, eventually were settled, but they're all cited in our brief. So those are the only two that I know of, as well as the Laidlaw landfill and then the Republic case that was settled.
What's the oversight in the trucking industry when they're considered a PUCO?
Well, they are PUCO anyway.
They're PUCO yeah. regulated, correct?
Right.
So that's by statute?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't have a statute for the PUCO to embrace public landfills.
Well, what you do have, though, is the solid waste district. And like I said, they can
shut it. But that's not a PUCO provision.
No, it's not. And it doesn't have to be. The 519-211.
Isn't the statewide scheme, though, for public utilities, which is what opposing counsel's argument was right off the bat, was the first district didn't take into consideration the statewide scheme of the public utilities statutory provisions as well as the sanitary landfill and see that there's a disconnect there.
No, that's not what she's saying. What she's talking about is in 1988, the Solid Waste Management Act was passed in Ohio. In 1992, AB Refuse was written by this court setting forth the AB Refuse factors. So that scheme was already in effect. And what she's saying is that we have to be public. I mean, most utilities are private companies. You know, Duke Energy is a private company, but that's PUCO. What I'm saying is common law utility has been defined in Ohio going all the way back to 1924 and even before that. So you've got almost a century of common law public utility law there that is all cited in our brief. And what I'm saying is under the AB Refuse, you go through the various factors. The first one, is it a public service? Yes. Does the public have a legal right to receive that service? Yes. Is that service provided indiscriminately and reasonably?
I want to go back to the legal right to receive that service. Yeah. That legal right is based in contract, though.
No, the legal right is based upon the public has the right to receive garbage disposal, because otherwise it would be a health safety factor in society.
Okay, I want to get to the kind of the end question for me. I know you cite all sorts of regulations in your briefs that control you, but the regulation we're concerned about here is the ability to expand without any regard to the zoning of that particular.
That's already controlled by the Ohio EPA and the Solid Waste Management District.
No. They can't tell you how far you can expand as long as you meet the health and environment and regulations. They can't tell you how far you can, that 350 acres you want, as long as you meet, it's not over aquifers and all those other issues, as long as you meet them, you can keep expanding under the theory that you are a public utility, correct?
No. And here's the reason. They consider environmental factors. They consider effect on property owners. The EPA has a regulation.
The EPA considers the effect on property owners?
Yeah,
diminution of value?
They have a setback requirement.
Okay, do they consider diminution of value?
I believe that's within their purview, yes, Your Honor.
But if you can buy property in, let's say, an undeveloped area, and if you can buy enough property that meets all those EPA health issues you're talking about, you can keep expanding and expanding without the zoning control, right?
The Solid Waste District could deny you a permit.
On what basis?
They can say, hey, we're setting up our own landfill. We're setting up a public landfill. We're going to eminent domain you.
If they don't do any of that, you can still buy and buy and expand as long as you meet those requirements, can you not?
You have the regulatory factors and you got the AB refuse factors.
I know you have all those factors,
right.
But if you meet those factors, there's nothing else limiting your expansion, correct?
Well, I beg to differ. I believe that there is plenty, because you've got overlapping regulatory agencies with the Solid Waste District and the EPA and the Board of Health and the nuisance laws. All those things together make this one of the most regulated industries in the state.
But they still don't tell you how much land you can buy and expand to. That's a zoning issue, is it not?
Not totally, because you got to be able to cite it there. And I agree with you. If you buy the land and
you're obviously
cite
not going to answer it directly, so I understand.
Yeah, I mean, if you meet everything that you have to meet and the AB refuse factors, you know, then you can cite it. But I'm saying we meet the AB refuse factors. So indiscriminately and reasonably provided, the provider has an obligation to provide the good.
Counsel, in the Court of Appeals decision, it says Rumke is legally required to dispose of all of the City of Cincinnati's solid waste.
Yes, correct.
Legally required by virtue of the fact that they contracted with the city?
By contract.
Okay, but that's not outside of a contract, they're not legally, and that contract obviously could terminate.
Well, first of all, we're the only landfill in Southwest Ohio.
But it's not necessarily the only landfill that could be situated in Southwest Ohio. Wasn't that the testimony on deposition that there's, you know, if Rumke's landfill closed, alternative locations would be located?
Well, that presumption assumes that the other landfills aren't filling up and that they can accept the Rumke capacity. And that is just simply not true. They
cannot.
Well,
that's an unknown.
First of all, you've got a cost issue. You've got to transfer it. Some of those landfills are 200 miles away. We have like one-eighth of the population that is serviced by this particular landfill. It's extremely important to Southwest Ohio. You got 1.3 million people in those three counties, and this is really the only viable, you know, ongoing landfill there. Let me finish up on the factors. The service cannot be arbitrarily or unreasonably withdrawn. That's a condition of the permit by both the Solid Waste District and the EPA.
What would happen if Rumke all of a sudden went out of business? The service could be withdrawn at that point, correct?
Well, I mean, if they went out of business, it would cost everybody in Southwest Ohio a lot more to dispose of their garbage, number one. I think the Solid Waste District may even try to site their own or take over Rumke.
So there's alternatives. There's options available. Rumke's not the only game in town.
Well, at a cost, you are correct. Anything can be solved by more money.
Exactly. And in this case, we don't know what the cost is or will be in the future for those that are using the facility.
There's testimony in the record that the cost would be very, very expensive for the individual consumer to
dispose of. I'm shifting the focus to the cost that Rumke charges now per ton or per vehicle that's dumped that is added on above the tipping fee. That is solely up to the discretion of Rumke and presumably what the market will bear.
Well, it is, with the exception of the Solid Waste District, which could control that directly with the most draconian way possible, and that is shut it down or redirect the flow and do all those other things.
But they couldn't tell Rumke you have to charge X amount of dollars on top of the tipping fee and no more.
They could come to Rumke and say, you either do that or we're going to direct the flow away from
you. What authority do they have to do that?
They have the authority right in the statute.
Could you point me to that part of the statute?
Right now, well, it's the Solid Waste Management Statute, and I think we do have it in our brief.
Okay, I'll look there. Thank you.
The last one is, you know, do we have a monopoly in the marketplace? And the evidence is that Rumke disposed of 74% of all waste generated in Hamilton, Butler, and Warren counties.
Thank you.
Council, your time has expired, but you've had a lot to cover and a lot of questions, so let me ask one more past your time. The factors that you're citing, how are these to be applied? Are they to be applied to landfills generally? In an objective way, sort of in the abstract, a landfill, or is it a landfill or whatever entity is claiming public utility status on a entity-by-entity, case-by-case basis?
Case-by-case basis, Your Honor. So that's what AB Refuse says. That's why we have to meet all these. That's why you just can't move anywhere in the state. You can't do whatever you want. It's not open sesame on landfills all over the place. Like I said, you got to meet all the regulations of EPA, siting, solid waste management, Board of Health, county. You got to meet the AB refuse factors. And they're flexible factors for a reason. That's what a common law public utility is. It provides a service, but it's not at the level, say, of an electrical public utility or a water public utility.
And Mr. Trouth, you're saying that one of the factors is not that the facility is regulated by the PUCO.
That's exactly right. It's a totally different animal under Ohio law and has been for 100 years. It's common law public utility.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Cunningham, you've used all your time. You may take 30 seconds.
Do you agree that these factors are applied on an individual basis, one-on-one, and not as a general matter across the board?
Your Honor, in the common law public utility analysis under 519-211, not in the statewide scheme analysis, but in the 519-211 analysis, this court has repeatedly said it is an intense fact and circumstances analysis. But this court has also said that when a particular business occupies, is a matter of public concern, they have such an important part of the marketplace that they raise to the level of public concern, that in that instance, it is the public utility type regulations between customers, the obligation to provide the service, so they can't leave somebody, discriminate in pricing, and they can assure services. It's when there is a significant market share that analysis becomes even more important and the public utility, customer relation factors, rate making factors become even more significant. So it is a case-by-case basis that is applied in the common law public utility factor test, but it is not a simple analysis and is a very intensive factually-based analysis in every case.
Ms. Cunningham, would you have us wed the PUCO regulation to the idea of the public utility at common law?
I think that this court has said that PUCO regulations in and of themselves are not determinative. Frankly, I'm not sure that the rate-making regulations would have to be public PUCO-type regulations. For example, the public landfill model, there is public rate-making. But there would have to be a governmental authority, PUCO or a similar authority, that would govern the relationship between the landfill providing the service and the customer who receives it to assure a reasonable non-discriminatory rate and to assure that they actually provide the services to the customers.
And you're saying EPA and the Solid Waste Management District does not do that?
They do not do it, nor do they have the statutory authority to do it. There is no statutory authority in Ohio for public or for privately held landfills that can regulate rates or customer relations. And landfills are somewhat unique because they're not like an electric utility where they actually have a defined service area. Public landfills can take solid waste from anywhere. 30% of the solid waste in Ohio comes from out of state, from the East Coast, because transportation isn't the only cost factor. Other cost factors are tipping fees, which might be four times higher on the East Coast, so it pays somebody to bring in solid waste. Rumpke Sanitary Landfill could choose to accept only out-of-state waste and never accept any waste from within Hamilton County. And the Solid Waste Management District could not do anything about that. The designation has to be a consensual designation. They can't simply designate landfills that don't agree to accept their waste. Waste is interstate commerce, and there's limited regulations.
Thank you,
available.
Counsel.
Could I ask one final question, Ms. Cunningham? Earlier in your presentation, you indicated that the appellate court had gone away from what you thought was the correct view of the law because they didn't follow the statutory scheme. If I understood Mr. Trowell's position, he thinks that they correctly followed the factors set forth in AB Refuse. Do you agree AB Refuse sets forth factors that we should consider and follow that analysis or not?
I think primarily, I believe that there is a statewide statutory scheme which came after A and B Refuse. It was, in effect, had been adopted at the time of A and B Refuge, but not fully implemented, wasn't considered by this court. But if this court finds that is not a statewide scheme and local zoning isn't part of it, then the court must apply the A and B Refuse factors, and they are not met in this case.
Okay, thank you.
Factually, as set forth in our briefs.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision. Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you.